God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible. Shout it.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
I'm a very proactive pastor. I don't wait for things to happen. I like to make things happen. Several years ago, I don't even know how many, but I was at my godson's karate class, and I asked the instructor if he would train our security. And he said to me, "What does the church need security for?" And I said to Philip said to his friend, "Come and see." And he came in and he saw that there was a need for trained security. And at the time, this wasn't being done in churches formally. People just had a bunch of ex-thugs or off-duty police officers patrolling and trying to care for the needs of the people. But I believe in the concept of God warning you that the storm is coming. He doesn't want you to try to build your ark while it's raining. And I like to stay in touch with various ministries and other trainings that are not necessarily of our culture in order to keep our people a step ahead. And now with all the shootings in churches, since 1998, there have been 10 shootings in churches that were very deadly, very large. And what was interesting about the 10 shootings, there was only one Presbyterian church and one Catholic church. The rest were evangelical Pentecostal churches, because those churches are more open and they don't have a system of protection for the parishioners. I say that because it has always been my experience to hear the voice of God before the storm comes. And so God has blessed us to be able to have our teams consistently trained on how to handle various things. And I say that not to alarm you, but to tell you God's way of dealing with your pastor. God likes to tell me before stuff happens. He doesn't like to bring me in at the end. He likes to tell it to me before. The hard job is to get people to understand times, as the song says, they are a-changing. Now, you have a choice. You can either fight the changing times, or you can look for opportunities within the context of the time. In Chinese and Cantonese language, the two symbols used for danger, one of those symbols is opportunity, which means that during a dangerous time, there's always a window of opportunity. In fact, in this country, during the Depression, more businesses were started during the Depression than at any time in the history of America. During a time when the economy was hitting the bottom, some people saw the opportunity to begin to build great businesses. I know that we live in a theologically inspired world, not a world that obeys the theology, but we're all inspired to some segment of theology in our lives. You baby boomers were growing up with the phrases, "Lord willing," you know, "Jesus, see me through," "God help me." So there's always a concept of theology in your mind. But now that you're born again, this Bible becomes more than just something to carry to church. I believe this book. I believe everything in it. And whenever the Bible points out something wrong in my life, I declare that I'm guilty and I throw myself on the mercy of the court. And because I am a forensic psychologist, I say I was temporarily insane. You cannot hold me accountable for it. I was nuts for a moment, but help me with some therapy. Now, brothers and sisters, today's message will embody what I've just spoken. That if you and I want, We can stay in the past. We can hold on to the shackles of the past. We can remain rooted and grounded in negative experiences that once dominated us. We can continue to repress these things psychologically until they burrow so deep into our subconscious that we are ineffective in our physical actions because we don't know why we do what we do. Or we can understand that God is about the business of doing something new. In fact, the Word of God gives us a few occasions where he addresses the coming newness in your life. One is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And what I marvel at about this particular passage in chapter 3, it's written by a man who is on his way out of physical life. And the book of Ecclesiastes is designed to help you to look at your regrets. It's to help you to see that you spent a lot of time doing stuff that doesn't matter. Amen. We are never more focused on life than when we're exposed to death. We sit at a funeral, we begin to think about missed opportunities, and we begin to make promises that we know we are not going to keep unless there is a substantial change in our lives. For some reason, we've been led to believe that our God is this God of consistency who keeps us going down this path of mediocrity, never reaching for anything great, never looking for anything that will turn the tide of my gene pool, in essence. I'll be what my parents never were. In fact, the question that we can ask you psychologically is, how many of you want to be your parents? You want to be better. You don't want their neuroses and their issues that they passed on covertly to you. You want to learn from those mistakes and make a better life. Then why not learn from the Word of God and make a better life? You have been spared the horror of hell. You are born again. Jesus died on a cross, gave his blood to wash you. But did he wash us so that we can just have the religious experience called church? Did he save us so that we could flounder around in obscurity and never accomplish anything for the kingdom of God? Did God save me so that I can have my own hit show? Or did God save me that I may join with my brothers and sisters and give God a vessel that he may work through? Amen. Did God save me so that I can be a pouting, bratty child who, when he doesn't get his way, he stays out of church? You watch these children get up to sing before us. The one thing that is missing from that little group is ego. Isn't it a joy how we listen to them? No, they don't have trained voices. They don't have, you know, operatic ranges. But you hear them sing and sing with affection. Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful child. Because they are without ego. They can be anointed, but they have no ego. But they're innocent, and the anointing works better on innocence. You and I are sitting in the presence of Almighty God, and week after week, we bring him the same praise. Preachers bring him the same level of disconnection, and we want a supernatural flow, but we're not willing to do anything different. So here's what God says. Through Solomon, he makes us aware of the fact that everything in your life is seasonal and cyclical. The only thing that God does not relegate to seasons and cycles is marriage. You get married, you're stuck. You can't outgrow your spouse, no matter what Oprah and Dr. Phil tell you. They're yours until one or the other is graveyard dead. Let me move on now. I've just alienated 2/3 of my congregation. And so Solomon teaches us, to everything there is a season and a time, a cycle under heaven for everything. A time to be born. There is a season for having children. The season is bracketed by ability to afford it and common sense. Let me move on. God help me. Play something on that trumpet so I can get out of this. That season for doing that. He tells us a time to be born and a time to die. Tell your neighbor, you're going to die if the rapture doesn't come first. Now, some of you have never heard that because, like Amerigo Vespucci, you don't believe it. You're looking for the fountain of youth. And, oh, God, I tell people all the time, I was young for such a long time. And now that I'm 30, I'm trying to get my 16s back again. But I want the wisdom of my 30s and my 16s so I don't make the same silly mistakes. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to work. And then a time to sit back, put your feet up, and chill. I don't know those phrases. They're not part of my vernacular, but I have to depend upon you for slang. And as he continues to write, it's such a sad epitaph. He says, I had armies and navies. I had silver and I had gold. But this man, he is lacking companionship. At the height of his life, he had 1,000 women at his beck and call. 300 wives and 700 concubines. 300 wives and 700 women to sleep with. Great day in the morning. Even Wilt Chamberlain didn't make that many. And Solomon said, with all that I've amassed, he uses a phrase in the King James that we quite we miss it in our etymological study. He says it's vanity in the King James, but other translations say it's useless. All the things that you're reaching for in this life, fame, success, fortune, popularity, vaunted titles of religious expression, you pine for the bishopric and for the apostolic and for the prophetic, but you don't hold the hand of Jesus. I would give up every episcopal title for a face-to-face conversation with the man who died on the cross. None of this matters when you're in the presence of Almighty God.
If you believe for a copy of this message in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
12317P.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $14, which includes shipping and handling. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Sundays at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. The telecast can also be seen Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday on WMCN TV 44 at 7:30 a.m. WMCN is available on Fios, Comcast, and Broadcast Television. To visit one of Bethel's Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. Services are held at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 o'clock p.m. Live streaming of our services takes place Sundays at 8:15 a.m. and 12:15 p.m. Prayer and Bible study are held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us at BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app at the Apple Store or Google Play. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.